Welcome to the Mantra Podcast. My name is Johanna Hector, and I'm excited to immerse myself with you in the world of the highest words and sounds. Although I've been practicing and facilitating yoga for a long time, I only discovered the power and beauty of mantras a few years ago. With my inspiring guests, I'd like to introduce you to their diverse meanings, effects, and sounds. Enjoy listening and chanting along.
Ananda George is a sound yoga therapist who helps people struggling with stress, burnout, and negative self-talk tap into the transformative power of mantra. She developed the world's first 200-hour registered yoga teacher training course focused entirely on the transformational power of sound. She divides her time between India and Hawaii, teaching mantra workshops, intensives, and trainings worldwide. With her vast experience and down-to-earth nature, she inspires people to feel the power of love through sound and express their most authentic contribution to the world. Welcome, Ananda. Such a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
It's really an honor. Thank you.
Would you like to add some words about yourself? Actually, I have to say that I never struggled so much with keeping the introduction of my guest short because there is just so much to say about you. I didn't want to leave out things, but I also couldn't talk for half an hour. So anything that you missed.
You know, that says enough. I think what I really am here for is to help people learn how to tap into the power of sound and mantra for themselves. And it's a little unusual, I think, in the mantra world, because a lot of people go into performance. You know, they're up on a stage and they're doing albums. And I certainly have done that and can do that. But what really lights me up, as I'm honest with myself, is teaching. So, you know, just so our listeners through this podcast know that this is going to be, you know, a conversation that's focused on lighting that fire of mantra in you.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me, because Ananda has also a wonderful offering for our audience, for everybody who's listening. You can get 10% off on any of her trainings and courses, much of them online, and you find the discount code, or discount sounds terrible, the affiliate code, the code to get those 10% off in the show notes. So thank you very much, Ananda, for offering this.
My pleasure.
You suggested starting right off with a mantra. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. So I have an invocation to Om, which was taught to me by my first real Sanskrit teacher. I had studied mantra in India, and I had done a Sanskrit mantra teacher training course from sanskritmantra.com. And then I was out there teaching and realized that actually I didn't know the Sanskrit alphabet. And therefore all of the mantras that I had known those previous 13 years of study and thousands of hours of practice weren't tuned to the alphabet. So I honor one of my teachers, Dharma Widman from the American Sanskrit Institute, for turning me on to the glories of the Sanskrit alphabet. And this is an invocation that he taught us and that we did at the beginning of every class. So it's an invocation to Om. I guess y'all can just close your eyes and listen. Yeah. over and over, we bow to the essence of sound, the primal pulse of life that is the heart of sound. Om. Mm,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I also love to ask my guests, what inspires or moves you the most at the moment or lately?
Smashing the patriarchy. Full stop. I feel like a lot of the violence that is being done around the world has its roots in a hierarchical system, and the strong patriarchal system that disempowers everyone of every gender, really, not just women, those who identify as women. And on my journey through the yogic traditions, and after, you know, the numbers keep getting bigger, but I went to India the first time when I was 19, and I'm 46 now. After all that time in India and really almost assimilating into the Indian culture, my music Guruji was like, Anandra, you're half Indian. I said, Hanji Guruji, main aadhi Hindustani hu. You know, like full on. And I realized at one point that so much in the yogic tradition is that at least what has been exported and also what I experienced inside India, really very rigid and conformative and oppressive, actually. Mm. And so it was a huge mind-blowing moment for me to make a transition into a more tantric view, which is life-enhancing, life-enriching, all-embracing, non-judgmental, non-dual, not just non-dual on paper or in philosophy, but in practice, in everyday life. So to me, you know, especially with the rise of right-wing authoritarian governments in India, in Europe, in America, I think it's time, overdue time, for all of us who work with sound and mantra and the yogic teachings to connect our heart, our mind, our words, and our deed to embody a post-patriarchal approach. So that's what lights me up right now.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much for bringing this up. And I think it's just what you said is so important, to embody it, not just talk about it. And of course, the philosophy is beautiful, and I'm very lucky to have been trained also in tantric yoga traditions. Yeah, but at the end of the day, we have to live it, we have to embody it, and to make this our life experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many sticky entanglements and cultural programs that we don't realize that they're running. Mm. And the thing that I really love about the work with Nada Yoga and mantra is that if you are really getting into it, you are confronted every day with the discordance between your deepest sense of self, your deepest belief systems, the voice in your heart, the thoughts that you run, whatever junk thoughts you've got circulating on repeat in your mind that are in opposition to your deepest, truest self. And then what you say is often different from your mind and from your heart. And then what you do is often different from what you say, right? Like all of us can think of probably 100 examples of that. And with the, you know, the way that I work with sound and mantra is like, okay, everybody, big, huge hugs and lots of, you know, acceptance for what it is, but let's come into attunement. Yeah. Like, let's tune ourselves for love. And not the kind of spiritual bypassy kind of love, but like the kind that counts.
Yeah.
You know, when
I think what mantra does so wonderfully for us is that those abstract words, or that can sound very abstract to many of us, become a reality, a felt reality. Because oftentimes we hear, for example, in yoga class, and now feel gratefulness or feel love. And what if you're just not feeling it? But then exactly. You start to sing and to make those sounds, those sacred sounds, and the feeling comes naturally.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that there's some shift in yoga teacher training or mantra teacher training or, you know, any kind of leadership role that needs to be emphasized, where, you know, it is a kind of violent approach to tell somebody what to feel. A different way of doing it would be to say, notice how you're feeling.
Yes.
And then whatever is alive in you today is welcome here. And what I know from my own practice, and also from, you know, a little bit of study in trauma and trauma therapeutic approaches, is that if you give it enough time and you tune in to what is actually alive, what you actually are feeling, the natural pulse of just the joy of being alive, the omkar, like that primal pulse that is like, yes, the joy of being arises naturally without having to be forced, without someone telling you that you should feel it or feel grateful for it. It is self-existing. It's self-luminous. You are self-luminous. And I think that's like that point really touches on something that I see in the yoga community, in the kirtan community, in the mantra circles, is like, we actually don't have to manufacture it. It's already there.
Yes.
That's another way of smashing the patriarchy, is just like, okay, whatever is alive, here we are. Let's just hold space. And wow, the inner self blooms on its own. That's the miracle.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. So, what mantra, or maybe I should say, what group of mantras are you bringing us today?
I am bringing you the foundations of mantra, because what you said earlier, that, you know, the beautiful thing about mantra is that you have a felt experience, right? What I and bringing is going to be the five positions of the Sanskrit alphabet. I'm not going to teach all the 50 letters, because that would take a couple of hours and we don't have that much time. But I would like to turn you and all of our listeners on to the five mouth positions that all of the rest of the Sanskrit alphabet letters come from. Because, and here is the, you know, here's the key. The Samskritam, the Sanskrit alphabet, Samskritam is how you say Sanskrit in Sanskrit, means literally to put together the subtle form. And it is a language that is a metaphysical bridge, meaning a bridge from physical sensation to expanded states of awareness. And the placement of the tongue and the way that we move the air through our body instrument is designed specifically to stimulate the lively spots in our body instrument. And if you don't know, you don't know. If you have never had anybody show you how to make those sounds in the right spot, you just don't know what you don't know. And that was my situation after 13 years of studying in India, living in ashrams, did a Sanskrit mantra teacher training course. I didn't know. I mean, how crazy is that? But since I realized that, I think I had my mantra oh shit moment was in 2009, I think. I have been basically on a crusade to turn people on to, you know, to their own mantra practice and light that fire. So I am going to share the anatomy of the Sanskrit sounds, and then we can take it from there. Yeah.
Wonderful. Let's go for it.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
I know it's a little bit risque, but I often liken, you know, like I give an analogy, especially for us ladies, like if you never knew that you had a clitoris, you just wouldn't know. And you'd be living your life, you'd be doing your thing, you'd be feeling good from time to time. But if you didn't know, you wouldn't know. And you'd be praising that person who, or that book, or that online course that taught you. Woo! Okay. Now we're living. So stay tuned, listeners.
No. So let's bring more pleasure to our mantra practice.
Indeed, that is right. Shall we go right into it?
Yes, totally.
Okay, fantastic. So in the Sanskrit alphabet has 50 letters. They're made by five positions. So the five positions, there's different ways of making the sound in all five positions, but it's basically the throat, the back of the palate, a little spot on the upper palate, the strip of skin behind the upper front teeth, and the lips. So to feel the vibration in the throat sound is really easy. So just say, yeah, and put your fingers there on your throat. Just lightly tap the fingers or hold the fingers on the throat. Can you feel the vibration while you...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the throat. Yeah. That one's pretty easy. You don't really have to think about that one very much. The next position is a little, I can't point to it because it's deep inside my skull, but it's a little, it's at the very back of the palate. And to feel it on the outside, you can put your fingers on your occiput. So at the base of your skull, where your skull meets the top of your spine. Okay? So then we say, ee. Can you feel the vibes there?
Yeah.
And those of you who are doing this at home, make the sound out loud. Otherwise, you won't feel the vibration. This is a tangible, audible vibration. Okay? So... just keep your fingers there on your occiput, and now say ah again. Ah. Can you feel it? Where do you feel it?
So do it again.
Ah. It's a trick question. Maybe you didn't count on that you were going to get a lesson today.
I would say I feel it in the same spot where I felt it before.
Exactly. So this is the beginning of your proof that the Sanskrit alphabet works. Okay? The first position sounds, you actually feel the vibration in your throat. The second position sound, that you know, it's like if I were... that spot there at the base of your skull where the skull meets the spine, you actually feel the vibration there. If you could stick your finger all the way down your throat without making yourself gag and actually touch the back of your palate, you would feel it there as well. But we're not going to do that. Yeah. So that's position one. Position two. I'm going to jump forward to position five because that's easy. And that's also the way that the alphabet is usually chanted. So, ooh, ooh, that's the lips. So you feel the vibration. You can put your finger on your lips if you like. Ooh. Can you feel the vibration there? Yep. So obviously the lips are very sensitive. There's a lot of nerve endings in the lips. We often don't think about it necessarily, but in the Sanskrit alphabet, in a tantric approach to the Sanskrit alphabet anyway, we're encouraged to feel the sensation and savor the sensation. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, ah, e, oo is 1, 2, 5 positions. Okay? Now, the next position, I'll save the kind of the slightly trickiest one for last. The next position is taking the tip of your tongue at the back of your upper front teeth. Keep it there, kind of softly placed at the back of your upper front teeth. Can you feel the little strip of skin that goes in between your two upper front teeth? Mm-hmm. Is it a little ticklish?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Right there is where you're going to make the vibration. So, just make a little sound there. Yeah. And some people start getting chicken skin and shivers, and it's very lively in that spot. Yeah. So that's the fourth position. And we're going to go, the final one is a third. Sorry for the weird order, but there's a whole story about this. There's a story of creation where Shiva as consciousness is coming into form and through the elements, and we don't have time for that today. But that's in my Sanskrit, the Sanskrit course. So anyway, quick and dirty, the position itself is, so I'm going to give you the tour of how to get there. Take the tip of your tongue at the back of your upper front teeth in that fourth position, the dental position. And now slide it slowly along the roof of your mouth until you feel kind of a ridgy spot, like it's a little rough and ridgy. Not there. Keep coming back. Just a tiny little bit more. Everyone's mouth is shaped a little differently, so I can't give exact distances, but maybe a centimeter, maybe a half a centimeter, until you come to the end of that little bone, and then it goes up and in. There's a little indentation behind the ridgy spot, right there in that little cave. Most of us have like some kind of little divot there or a little cave right there on the back of that bone. That's where you want to tap for the third position sound. Just in case some people might have gone all the way back, we'll just give you the directions like you're going too far. Well, if you get to the slippery part at the very top of your palate, that's too far. So slide your tongue all the way back where it gets really smooth and high. That's too far. Okay, just right there. So there we make...
Not the biggest tongue stretch you could do.
No, not the biggest tongue stretch. Exactly. So there you can make a... Just make a... It's a little awkward at first. But this third position sound is best experienced through the word, what's the name of the flute playing blue handsome fella
Krishna?
Who captures everyone's hearts? Yes.
Krishna, you mean?
Krishna, yeah. So with Krishna, the R is the vowel, the Sh is the hissing sound, and the Na is the nasal sound, and all three of those sounds are in that position. So ka is in the throat, ka, r, sh, na, Krishna. So it's a little tricky because you're making different types of sound in that region of your mouth, but just give it a try. We can do it together. Krishna.
Are you giving the tongue all the time in that spot, saying
correct.
Krishna?
Okay. Even though you're making, so the R, you're making a tap. Sh, you're making air hiss there. And then Na, you are kind of savoring a little contact during that Na.
Ja.
Krishna. 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 Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, so this is what most people miss. Your podcast, you have tons of mantra lovers, obviously. What most mantra lovers miss is the distinction between the fourth position and the third position. So that's why we pay more attention to that. And that's what you usually have to clean up when you're tuning your mantra position or tuning your mantra pronunciation. So if we say Krishna, Krishna, like a typical non-trained person might do, versus Krishna, Krishna. Let's do that. Let's do a little experiment. So say with me five times the kind of untrained way of doing it. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And pay attention to how you feel. Krishna, Krishna. And now make all of those letters in the third position in the cave and pay attention to how you feel. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Back to the quote unquote normal way. Krishna, 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 Krishna. And one more time, the Sanskrit. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Cool. Can you feel the difference?
Yes, I also feel the difference in my muscles working.
Yeah, it's a little awkward at first because it's a new. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but also, yeah, on the energetic level, it feels very different.
Yeah, it's very different. And Krishna is the magnetic inner void, you know, the dark one, the all attractive one that is like pulling us into our inner nature. It's not flat, you know, when you say Krishna or some other variation, the energy just kind of goes splat.
Yeah.
Versus you're like, you feel the inward pull and it's juicy and it's sensual and it's very lively. Like you can feel the, you know, the circulation of your inner energies just rolling through your body.
Yeah, I feel like 2D compared to 3D.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that before. Yeah. Yeah. So that's just that's one example out of hundreds of examples of kind of commonly untuned words. We could do namaste. We could do shanti. We could do ashtanga yoga. We could do prana. We could do kundalini. We could do take your pick, really, of so many people making mantra albums, teaching teacher trainings, who don't know what they don't know. Not because I want to be the Sanskrit police, but I want everybody to be in 3D. I want everybody to have a mantra practice in 3D, 4D, 5D. Like, wow, it's a huge difference. And for those of us who love it, like, I just want you to love it more until you fully attune with those beloved vibrations. It's incredibly life-changing. So that's just a little taste. Yeah, I hope that was interesting. And the thing, the biggest myth that I would really like to bust about Sanskrit is that it's hard to learn. To clarify, learning Sanskrit grammar well enough to be able to translate some ancient text is very hard. Learning how to chant the 50 sounds out of those 5 mouth positions is very easy. It takes a couple of hours to learn, and then more hours to retune your personal mantra practice. But oh my God, it's so worth it.
Yeah. Like a recalibration, I feel.
It's, you know, being in tune with it. And so not only do you get the benefit of an enlivened mantra practice for your own self, which is just going to do a better job with all of the mental and emotional digestion that mantra provides. It's going to provide you with this vivid attunement with these mantra vibrations, which you already love, which provides like so much more brilliance to be able to inspire you in your life and like really rock in whatever you're doing in your life that you're using mantra to help attune you with. You're also, you know, not culturally appropriating unconsciously or consciously because you just haven't bothered to learn or because you didn't realize that it was as easy to learn as it is. Yeah. So to make that distinction between learning Sanskrit to be a scholar of Sanskrit versus learning Sanskrit sounds to be a chant lover is really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I hope everybody had lots of fun. And the good thing about the podcast is you can always jump back to the beginning of this practice and repeat it as many times as you like.
So lovely. And maybe this is a good time to mention also, I have so many free resources on my website, like a dozen free courses. There's even a mini chant leader training where I teach the piece, some of the most common piece mantras, letter by letter, on the harmonium with the Sanskrit pronunciation. You have a whole properly transliterated Sanskrit mantra reference manual. So many things. So go check that out.
Yes. I would say Anandra's offerings are so rich and vast that you can easily dive into them for your whole lifetime.
I still am. When I decided to focus my energy and creativity and skill on the mantra sphere and teaching this work, I realized, I was like, you know, I want to do something that's hard. And I want to do something, like, not hard, but I want to do something that's worthy of a lifetime. That's not something that I can master in a weekend. I want something that I can dive into and the mystery keeps unfolding into deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper layers of penetration. The metaphysical science of mantra and sound with all of the ragas and the rhythms and the sounds and the language is like so rich. So yes, a lifetime or 10. See you next time.
Yeah. For this time, I would love to hear also again from you the sounds that you're bringing to us.
Yes.
And yeah, I guess everybody's invited to join in.
Yes. So we went over the 5 positions, and I'm just going to do the 5 positions in the short and long vowel sounds that you would do if you were just starting to learn the Sanskrit alphabet sounds. This is what you would start with. Okay. So I'll do short, long in the first position, short, long in the second position, and we'll go from there. Okay.
Great.
So, e, e, and then I jump to the fifth. Ooh, ooh, back to the third. R, r, and then the fourth. Oh, oh. The third position vowels and the fourth position vowels always hang my students up, and they're like, I don't know if I'm done. This feels weird. It sounds weird. And I said, yes. Okay. Thank you to my Sanskrit teacher who said the same thing. He's like, yep, they're weird. What counts is that you're making the sound in that position. So with the vowel sounds, there's a contact, and then you're curling the tongue slowly back and in. So the r and the r and the l and the l becomes the vowel sound through a little bit of contact and the action of the tongue moving in. Versus the semi-vowels, which come much later, where are more common, and that is like a tap and you just pull the tongue away. So it's like ra, like Rama, ra, or la, as in Lakshmi, right? So the sound is weird, and I just want to acknowledge that in these vowels. But this is where you would start. Again, not to make the sound a certain way, but to feel the sound in that position, because that's how you're going to learn it without ever being able to forget, because it's in your body. Okay, I'll do it again. Ah, ah, e, e, oo, oo, r, r, l, l, a, e, e, u, u, r, r, l, o.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Really a pleasure.
I really wish we could go on for hours. Unfortunately, our time today is limited. So,
well, for anybody who wants to keep going, again, go to my free resources hub on my website. Easy to find. And the next step, if you're going to sign up for a course, would be the Sanskrit Sounds 101. Or the full Sacred Sanskrit Sounds course. That would be the next part. And that's where I have the time and luxury to also tell you the Kashmiri Shaivism tantric kind of origin story of the alphabet, which really brings it all. It brings it to life, and it really makes sense why we do it in the order that we do it. And yeah.
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 Yeah, definitely go check out all those offerings. So worth it. And I have one last little question for you.
Okay.
So which one word does our world need the most right now?
The word that comes to me is integrity. And by integrity, I mean integrity between heart, mind, word, and deed. Mm-hmm. If all of us said what we meant and meant what we said and did what we said we were going to do, we would have trust, we would feel safe with each other, and we would be, the love would just flow.
Yeah. Perfect last words. I don't want to add anything to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I've realized in my years of being in the helping profession that love is rarely the problem. You know, it's the basis of love that has some cracks in the foundation. And if you're not building your love on integrity, yeah, that alignment and attunement between heart, mind, word, and deed, then it's going to feel unsafe and it's going to be scary and you're going to be not able to feel it or trust it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we also have a lot of misconceptions about love.
Yeah. A lot of sort of idealized, romanticized versions instead of, it's so simple, really. Mm-hmm. Well, I loved talking with you today. Thank you.
I love talking to you and practicing with you. Thank you so much for offering this very practical session today. It's definitely a special edition, I would say, on the Mantra podcast.
I know.
I enjoyed it just as much.
It's really my pleasure. Thank you so much for all that you do. And I know it's a labor of love to be serving the community in this way. So thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode and would like to support the podcast, please subscribe and leave me a positive review. See you soon for the next episode. Johanna.